Today's story from the book of Acts is often referred to as Paul's Damascus Road experience, the transformative event that changed Saul the persecutor into Paul the disciple. But there are two people in the story, each as important as the other, adversaries who by God's grace become friends. Listen now for God's word to you and to me. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they had heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of the Lord. What road are you on? Where are you heading? And who are you hoping to see when you get there? Saul is on a road to Damascus, and his intentions are clear. He wants the high priest to bless his killing spree. The road Saul chooses is one of righteous vengeance. So what road are you on? Where are you heading, and who are you hoping to see when you get there? If Robert Frost were alive today, I think he would be befuddled. He only had two roads to choose from when he was lost in the woods and decided to take the one less traveled by. Today, we have hundreds and hundreds of choices. The road of success, the path of self-improvement, the way of identity politics, the highway of financial security, the lane of religious exclusivism, the pathway of progressive absolutism, the drive of taking care of my own, the boulevards of nationalism, regionalism, and pick-your-ism. There are so many choices. And while we may not start down our road with murderous intentions like Saul, we want the same thing he does. We want our choices affirmed and our adversaries put in their place. We want the security and peace that comes from knowing we are making the right choices. We want to feel good about the path we have chosen and have it approved by those in authority. And so we barrel down our roads seeking the confirmation we desperately are searching for. And then God breaks in. One of the most powerful affirmations in the book of Acts is that the Spirit of God has been unleashed upon the world with one singular goal, disrupting the old order of things by showing us a different way. The Spirit of God is disorienting to its core. It will alter any path that we are on to teach us what we need to learn, and this attribute of the Spirit might just be the biggest challenge to our life of faith. With every other road, while every other road is eager and ready to affirm what we believe and take us where we want to go, the way of Jesus reorients us and all our preconceptions. And Saul does not find what he was looking for on that road to Damascus. Instead of being given the green light to eliminate those he believes are a danger to God and God's people, Saul is blinded by Jesus and taken where he needs to go. A holy encounter on a familiar road, followed by temporary blindness that leads to a meeting with your sworn enemy, who at the end of it all is the one to restore your vision. It's a really great story until we realize it could happen to us. So, what road are you on? Where are you going? And who are you hoping to see when you get there? Saul is not the only one in the story who has taken this road to Damascus. Ananias, a disciple of Jesus, has traveled the same path. But Ananias in this story is the predator. He's not the predator, he is the prey. As such, one would think that Ananias sees things differently than Saul does, but he doesn't. He has the same mindset as Saul. They are both convinced that the other is a threat to their way of life, which should not surprise us, really. This is, after all, the mindset of anyone who starts down a road seeking affirmation for their choices, for their way of life. So what road are you on? Where are you heading? And who are you hoping to see when you get there? George Denison was a longtime member of this congregation before his family moved to Atlanta. When he left a few years ago, George was a passionate advocate for the children and families of the East End of Richmond. He would talk about it all day. But it wasn't always that way for George. He lived in Richmond's West End for over a decade before he ever stepped foot on the other side of town. For years, he had been told to avoid the East End. It was only 15 minutes away by interstate, but it might as well have been across state lines. His surprising journey to the East End is one George loved to tell. It began with a friend giving him a tour of the Peter Paul Development Center, where he learned about the building of Interstate 95 through the city and the creation of the housing projects in the East End built to house those displaced by the construction of the highway. It continued a few years later when George and his wife, Cal, began tutoring at George Mason, now Henry Marsh Elementary School. George then chose to volunteer as a mentor at the Armstrong Leadership Program at Richmond Hill, a place where he met Tyquan Jenkins, a freshman at Armstrong High School at the time, who is now a sophomore at Virginia State. Tyquan and George's relationship has been so transformative for both of them, they still talk once a month and visit a couple of times a year. A child from a place George had been taught to fear changed his life, even as he helped change his. Now that sounds like a place I'd like to go. So what road are you on? Where are you heading? And who are you hoping to see when you get there? One of the temptations we face when we read the Bible, when we try to understand it, is to sensationalize the stories in it to make them about exceptional people during an exceptional time. They are not stories about us, they are stories for us. And today's story is one we love to keep at arm's length, and for good reason. Is some version of what happened to Saul and Ananias happened to us? Our lives would be turned upside down. Most of us are way too far down the road of mortgage payments and job demands and our family's complex wants and needs We are way too far down that road to be blinded on the way. It is just too much to expect our life to be overturned like this, right? Maybe. But I wonder if we miss the point of the story. We keep it at arm's length because all this supernatural stuff is what grabs our attention. But what if the most extraordinary part of the story is not the blinding light or the scales falling from Paul's eyes? What if the most amazing part of the story is that neither Ananias nor Saul are told to get off the road they chose to be on? Jesus doesn't scold them for the path they chose. He simply invites them to see differently their purpose on it. When Ananias musters up the courage to meet Paul, he lays his hands on the man who wants him dead and says to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Two enemies traveling the same road who encounter Jesus now call each other brothers and have their eyes opened to what God is up to in Jesus. So what road are you on? Where are you heading? And who are you hoping to see when you get there? Paul and Ananias are both confronted with a question that I believe every disciple of Jesus must ask themselves at some point. Do we act on the truth we know and see about someone? Or do we listen to Jesus and seek out and touch the dangerous and different people we meet? Will we pass by on the other side or be the good Samaritan? Will we invite only our friends and family into our home, or will we have our enemies over as well? Will we give to everyone who asks of us, or only to those we deem worthy of our offerings? It's a hard truth, but we will struggle to see God's love for us until we see it up close for them. But the good news is that you don't have to alter your entire life to meet the people God wants you to meet. They're just down the road a bit, trying to figure out, just like you are, their place in this world. This is why we want every member of our church to get connected with one of our outreach partners who are empowering the children and families of the East End. Getting invested in our outreach ministries in this amazing community is not primarily about doing your Christian duty or making a difference in the lives of others. It's about crossing paths and sharing bread and walking a mile or two with people God is longing for you to see as your brother and sister and friend. Homeboy Industries is a ministry in Los Angeles, California that gives young men and women a way out of the gang life by laying out a clear road to freedom that involves at its core job training. Now, before Homeboy Industries grew too big, Father Gregory Boyle, its founder, would walk every single new hire to their job site to introduce them to their coworkers. At 22 years old, Clever showed a promising eagerness to leave the gang culture through working at Homeboy Silkscreen, one of the branches of the ministry. Clever walked with Father Boyle through the factory, shaking hands cheerfully with those printing t-shirts. He even greeted enemies and looked them in the eye. Things were going really well until Clever turned the corner and saw Travieso, a 24-year-old from an enemy hood. In unison, the two stared directly at their feet, mumbling under their breath. It was obvious to everyone present that something awful had transpired between them. Those two were enemies, nothing more. "Look," Father Boyle told them, "if you two can't hang working together, let me know. I got a whole group of homies who would love to have this jail." They said nothing, and that was that. 6 months later, Travieso found himself on the wrong road, surrounded in an alley by members of a rival gang. They beat him so badly he was unrecognizable and beyond all medical help. Following hospital protocol, doctors waited 48 hours before declaring him deceased. In the first 24 hours of that vigil, Father Boyle was in his office late in the evening when the phone rang. It was Clever. "Hey," Clever began awkwardly, "that's messed up. What happened to Travieso?" "Yeah, it is." "Is there anything I can do, Father?" Clever asked. "Can I give him some of my blood?" The surprising offer sucked all the breathable air out of the atmosphere for both of them. Father Boyle recounted he could feel both of them trembling on the phone line. Well, Clever took the lead and punctured the silence. With great resolve and unprotected tears, he said, "He was not my enemy. He was my friend." "What road are you on? Where are you heading? And who are you hoping to see when you get there?" In the closing scene of the movie Back to the Future, Doc Brown, with all his hair, returns from the future in his time-traveling DeLorean to take Marty and Jennifer back to the future with him. It seems there is some problem with their kids. With all three crammed in the front seat of the DeLorean, Marty looks at the familiar road before him and says, "Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88 miles per hour." And Doc replies, "Roads? Where we are going, what? We don't need roads." It's true. Where we're going, we don't need roads. We simply need a way to see ourselves and others as God does. And thankfully, we know the way, and his name is Jesus. And he is full of compassion and kindness, and he will find us on whatever road we choose to travel. And he will take us, all of us, where we need to go. And if we struggle from time to time to see the way forward, to know where we're going, do not be afraid. Remember, Jesus has the power to give sight to the blind. Amen.